Well, we're in Genesis, the 10th chapter. Genesis chapter 10. We're talking about the origin of all the races, the personality of nations. This is the founding of every nation that's ever been and ever shall be right here. And we'll read 10 and verse 1. We alay Todoth, Benay, Noah, Shem, Tom, Weapheth, Yiv Validu, Lahem, Banim, Akar, Hamabul. And these, the family histories and the generations, it says, He Genesis in the Septuagint, which means the beginnings. The beginnings, just like we have the word Genesis. This is where the word come from. He Genesis. The sons of Noah. Shem, which means name or monument. And Ham, which means dark, swarthy, hot, volatile. And Japheth, which means spreading or expanding. And they were born, kept on being born to them, sons. Sons and daughters after the flood. Nations have personalities. Page 251 of Noah's three sons. We're going to go there in just a few minutes. Benay, Japheth, Gomer, Umagog, Umadai, We Yavan, Wet Tuval, Umeshek, We Teras. The sons are sons, literally, of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog. Now, Gomer is the Celtic and Germans. It's Gomer in Greek, just the same thing. And it means, Gomer means complete or accomplished. Now this Gomer was the eldest son of Japheth. And this is around the Black Sea in that area. And Magog. Now there is a lot of discrepancy on Magog because Magog is in Turkey. Many of the what we call the evangelical or the Protestant denominations, which rubbed off on Baptists, also have Magog as Russia. And Magog is really not Russia, but it is in Turkey or Armenia. And Medes. Medes is Persia, the Midians, the Medes and the Persians. And Yavan is the land of vines. Yavan means land of vines, which are the Greeks, the Aeonians. They're traders. And then Tubal. Tubal was a worker in metal. Cappadocia, Bulgaria, Hungary, the Romanians, these are those people of Tubal, Umeshek, and Meshek. Meshek also are, Meshek is basically in Turkey again. Many have aligned this with the word Moscow, which actually it is not Moscow, because it said Meshek, Moscow, Mosok, Meshek. So it sounds like Moscow, but actually this is in Turkey. And Tiras, which means expulsion. It's around the Caspian Sea, the Rocky Seas, Armenia again. So actually we're talking about all of these people around Armenia. And then Armenia runs into the Grecian states as you go on. Utrecians and the Thracians. 10 and verse 3. Yuvanay, Gomar,
Ashkenaz,
Re'ephath, Re'ephath,
Re'ephath.
Now it says, and sons of Gomer. Of Gomer. Completion. Gomer is Ashkenaz. This is southeastern Europe. And even over into Armenia, the Germans. Ashkenazi Jews, you know, you hear of the Ashkenazi Jews. This is where they came from. The Jews were put in that area, and they call these the Ashkenazi Jews. And Re'ephath is Re'ephath. This is northern Albania and Czechoslovakia and Togarmah. Togarmah. North of Armenia. Northern Armenia up toward Russia. Togarmah means you will break her. Armenia, Turkey, and Germany up to the Russian border. 10 and verse 4. Yuvanay. Yuvanay, Yevan, Elasha, Weetashash, Katim, and Weedodanim. I've written this thing up so much I can hardly read my writing. And sons of Javan, this means bubbling, like champagne and wine. Again, like vines. This is Greece, the land of vines. And Elisha, this is the region of the Mediterranean Sea, a name applied to remote places, a place where people die, where purple dye was made.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Like
and
Lydia
what?
Lydia sold.
Yeah, like Lydia, seller of purple. And Tharsis, we know what that is. That is Spain. Tarshish, Spain. They were shipbuilders. And these Tarshish, the people that were building ships, went across all the way across the Mediterranean Sea. And one time Jonah caught a ship of the shipbuilders that was going to Spain. And the Kittim, that's Cyprus, adjacent coast and islands. 1 Chronicles 1 and 7. Ketoi, it means to beaters, it means beaters down, bruisers. These Kittim means to beat down and bruiser. And Elisha means my God has disregarded, my God has abandoned. Places that are abandoned, way off. And Dodanim, the islands of Rhodes, Rhodian people, the Dardanelles. It means to delay, to totter, to go slowly. The Dardanim, they worshipped idols, the idol of Jupiter. 1 and 5. Me'ele. Nefridu. Iye. Hagoyim. Be'artzothom. Ish. Lil Shona. Limish Pi Chol Thom. Yes. And then B, Go Yehim. And these separated themselves, divided themselves, third person construct plural, Nephel perfect. These had divided themselves, the coastlands and the nations. The nations. Ha go yima. And the nations? Be'er atzel tham in their lands. In te ge is what it says in the Septuagint. In the lands of them. And then it says, each one, ish, each one, after his language, and after families, family groups, patriarchs, in their nations. Now, right here, in their families, literally that means in their sperm pool. It comes from one father, one seed, one semen, one seed. This is the paterfamilia, the fathers of the families. It says in the Septuagint, entes phales autu, patria, in the tribes of them and in their nations.
So they didn't intermarry very much.
No.
Well, here it's talking about their language, but the languages weren't...
Their own dialects.
Oh,
their own dialects,
yeah.
In their own dialects, ethnicin autu, that means in the Septuagint, that means according to their ethnic backgrounds. Ten and verse six. Yuvane, Sham, Cush, U Mitzrayim, Upheth, Ukinan, and sons, Ham. That means dark, it means colored, it means swarthy on page 326 in Brown, Draper, and Biggs. And Ham, now we have Cush. Cush is Ethiopia. It means black. And Mitzrayim. You remember what Mitzrayim means, Sharon?
Land of canal banks.
And land of red mud and canal banks. All right, these are the Egyptians. These are the people that had irrigated lands. Lands of irrigation. Talks about the red mud and canal banks. It's now the word Egypt is not a Hebrew word. That is a Greek word, Egyptos. In the Septuagint, it's called Mithraim. It actually goes and transliterates it. The Septuagint transliterates it. Later on, it's called Egyptos, but in the Septuagint, it's called Mithraim. And foot. Foot means bow. People that use a bow. This is Libya and Egypt. It's food. Food. Phi, Omicron, Epsilon, Delta in Greek in the Septuagint. And Canaan. Canaan we know, and it's literally translated into Greek as Canaan. In 1 Chronicles 1:8 through 13, it talks about these people here. It donates the country and the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, Egypt and Sidon, down through there. These were the people that, these Canaanites were the ones that settled in the lowlands by down from Mount Carmel and down into the lowlands of on the coast of the Mediterranean, which was a very fertile area.
That's where the plain of Sharon was.
Yeah. All right, 10 and verse 7, and then we're going to go into some history. Yuvane, Tush, Siva, Wachavila, Wisavta, Wirama, Wisavtika, Yuvane, Rama, Shiva, Udidan. And sons of Cush is Saba. Saba. Siva or Saba, this is north part of Ethiopia. Meroes in 1 Chronicles 1 and 9. And Havilah, the Havilah, that means the land of gold, the land of gold. Havilah means circle or district. The Indian Sea, all the way up into that area. And Sabatha, and Ramah, and Sabtika, and the sons of Ramah, Osheba, and Dedan. Ramah means trembling, to be afraid. Ramah means to tremble or be afraid. And this Sheba is southwest of Arabia, in Africa near the Straits of Babel. Dedan, these near Edom and Selah and the Salt Sea, and these people are, these are the Arabs today. Weshush, Yalad, Ed Nimrod, Huakel, Leoth, Gibor, Baaretz, and Cush begat Nimrod. Nimrod means violent or strong. Violent or strong. Near Babylon. And he began to, he had begun to profane. He had begun to be evil and to be a strong giant, famous one in the earth. And a geges epitesges is what it says in the Septuagint, to be giants upon the earth. So what do you think happened here? This is after the flood now.
It sounds like there was another...
more Nephilim on the earth.
Another fallen
Yeah, another...
got in there, and maybe what's his name wasn't really the father, it was...
Some people think that maybe Nimrod was a Nephilim, that he was a very strong man.
Because here it said... Here it said, hero, giant, strong.
Yeah, that's the same words that describe the Nephilim. All right, now let's go on back to page 251 and Noah's three sons. Nations have personalities, and they do, don't they? How about Nimrod's nation? Did it have a personality? As with the individual, so with a society, a culture, or a nation as a whole, when the body, the mind, and the spirit of a people receive equal encouragement and cultivation, the society enjoys a measure of health and well-being, which is not only reflected in a higher level of creative activity, but in a reduction of the evil effects of the fall. But now here, what's going to happen? The evil effects of the fall are going to be magnified. By contrast, when any one of these three components dominates or seriously neglected, the effects of sin in human nature become some way aggravated. This is particularly clear when a society becomes dedicated to the satisfying of its animal instincts, what was going on in Babylon. The things of its body, it ends up by degenerating. It becomes barbaric. It is not quite so obviously detrimental when a society turns intellectual to the exclusion of all else. That's the Greeks. And we probably have little to go on in from a study of history. The golden age of the Greek philosophers may be the case in part, and at times intellectuals have possibly dominated life in India. There is little question that such societies do not or cannot survive for long. The needs of the body must be recognized. These needs can only be ignored by the few if they are in a position to demand that the many take care of the matter for them. Slavery, which went on in Babylon, which happened in India, which happened in Egypt, which happened in Meso and South America. Intellectual elites survive only while a lower class is willing to serve their need, and history shows that human beings will not perform this kind of service indefinitely. And this is what happened also in one great nation, which is China. The many served the few. And that's why when they came to America, they were very much dominated here and very much abused by the American government and the anti-Chinese leagues and all this stuff. They had just about as much rights as an American Indian. They had very little. In California, a Chinese could not mine gold. They could only do placer mining, which was surface mining. They could not do anything else. The Indians couldn't have any rights at all. They didn't have any rights. Unless you were on a slave plantation, which was called a mission, you were an outlaw and which were subject to being hunted as an animal. And of course, the Mexicans that were still in California, they were looked upon as at least one quarter Indians, so they were no people. So they couldn't have anything. Human beings will not perform this kind of service indefinitely. The Chinese were the most, what we call, readily becoming slave because they had been slaves for thousands of years. And so making them less than a human being, they were used to. So they got along fine. They built the tunnels, they built the railroads, they did all kinds of building in San Francisco and all over, and they had these little Chinatowns here and Chinatowns there, Los Angeles, San Francisco, different places have Chinatowns, and they live among themselves, and they didn't mind serving because they had been raised for thousands of years in this servitude type idea. Nor does a purely spiritual society do very well either. Not a few such experiments have been made. Retreats from the world, cloisterings in and out of the way places, a corruption which has soon set in, has applied even to the acolytes themselves after a while. The greatest danger has been spiritual pride, and spiritual pride is surely even more disastrous to man's total health than his intellectual pride is, for it has no self-corrections. And who do we have that have done this for thousands of years? The Jewish people. Even though there are outlaws of God right now against him because they crucified their great king of Israel and our God and Savior, they are still, we are God's people. God to Israel is a national asset. Pride in their religious society. What is true of the individual history, therefore, has shown to be true of the whole culture. And nations also have personalities. Whether this is genetically determined or not is a matter of debate. There are those who argue strongly against this concept as food for racists. Nevertheless, the existence of modal personality, the idea that there is a recognizable English, French, or Chinese stereotype can be forcibly argued. Is that true or not? I am convinced that God not only foresaw the consequences of such potentially one-sided emphasis as we may observe in individuals, but foresaw also that mankind as a whole would always be tending in some direction. Mankind are extremists, aren't they? Men are extremists. They can't hit the middle of the road. In the middle of the road in America today, if you are not a Republican or not a Democrat, then you are sitting on splinters. Riding the rail. And that's not a bad person. I'm not a good person according to either side. You can't have a medium. This was a foreseeable part of the consequences of the fall. As the world was peopled and history ran its course. And I believe this writer here, Arthur Custance in Noah's Three Sons. And I believe that God took special steps to control this tendency while the human experiment was being conducted. God's object was to prevent society from becoming completely oriented toward one to the exclusion of the other, and even two things to the exclusion of the third. And my belief is, this is Arthur Custance, he did this by allotting to each of the three sons of Noah a specific responsibility for human welfare. A responsibility which is specific. a responsibility for human welfare, a responsibility which was to belong not merely to Shem, Ham, or Japheth as individuals, but to their descendants, the Shemites, the Hamites, and peoples and the Japhethites. To Ham was allotted responsibility for man's physical well-being, the provision of a sufficient margin of dominion over the physical world, to set him free from the constant need to fend against hunger, cold, heat, storm, disease, and other challenges, this margin of safety to leave him with some free energies. To Japheth was allotted the responsibility for the full development and full exploration of man's mental capacities. These are, of course, the Northern Europeans and the Greeks, the Germans, a kind of intellectual domain. And to Shem was allotted responsibility for man's spiritual development. Out of the family of Shem were to arise in a unique way men who would be concerned with man's religious needs, and some of these men founded false religions. Let's go in our modern history so we can understand. Brother Ray was here this morning. He talked about me teaching Western civilization. You can't teach what I'm teaching without teaching Western civilization. You can't teach personality of nations without looking what's happened in the past. In Germany, for instance, Gomer, Germany, we have a people that are their religion is work. They build things. They build things. They build things that Ham invented. They build on things that Ham invented, and they perfect the things that Ham invented. Now, in our modern history, in World War I, Germany had tried to basically take over the world because of their intellectual, because of their great inventions of the great ships and the war machines that they had. They were the number one in the world. They were the best. And they were going to take over the world. Well, they got beat down pretty bad, and their nose was rubbed in the dirt. And then Hitler comes along. Now, a God has allowed all of this, hadn't he? This is not God's direct will. It's God's permissive will. Now, and also, in the meanwhile, we have Russia. And America has looked at Russia as the arch enemy for so many years. Russia is communistic. Russia from Stalin on Lenin, Stalin, and we have Mein Kampf. We have Germany and we have Russia. Germany and Russia were two opposites. The Russians wanted, now we have Stalin, which was a horrible man, a killer, a murderer. He wanted to bring in his communist propaganda machine into the world, and even the ones that had helped in World War I, the generals, all of the Russian generals, Stalin had them all killed. He didn't want any chance of a coup against him and his ideals. Germany was slightly infected with socialism. Germany was extremely capitalistic. German, capitalistic. America was an ally of Germany with Hitler. America was supplying goods to Germany. I think one of the most brilliant presidents America ever had was Franklin Roosevelt. That man was a genius in every way. He used Germany to whip Russia, and yet we're an ally of Russia. But Franklin Roosevelt knew that we weren't an ally of Russia. And he had Stalin's confidence so much that Stalin wouldn't trust anything but him, and he was letting Russia whip him. See, He did not go into the war until he saw that Russia was sufficiently beat down, because as soon as Germany was whipped, Russia was going to become our immediate enemy, which they did. As soon as they took Berlin, they started firing on us and went in there and took all of Hitler's genius scientists and all of his science labs. They grabbed them and took off with them.
And we took the other guy.
Yeah. We see all this. Now, God allowed these nations to rise, didn't he? If it had not been for Hitler, we would be speaking Russian today, I can assure you. Hitler really beat Russia back. And you have to remember that Stalin had killed all of his great generals from World War I. He had to start all over again, and many of his soldiers were women, which weren't normally soldiers in his army. I believe it was Stalingrad that was, those that were protecting Stalingrad were female soldiers. Hitler's army was made up of a foreign legion also, his SS Waffen, his foreign legion. Every nation in Europe had volunteers in Hitler's army because they were scared to death of Russia, what Stalin was going to do, because Stalin was going to take over the world. And so they volunteered into Hitler's army to beat them back because they didn't want to be communist, because they knew that Russia was a very powerful machine. And this philosophy that they had, now it didn't work, did it? Russia fell all to pieces because of this communist idea, because you can't trust people. Communism would work if people weren't Adamic. That's why communism doesn't work. It doesn't work. Every nation in the world besides America basically is either communist or socialist. Great Britain is socialist, France, Germany, Spain, Greece, all of these people are socialist. Nearly all the nations are socialist, even Japan. China is a communist nation with practice a lot of socialism. We have Great Britain, we have Canada, we have Australia, New Zealand. All of these countries are socialist democracies. And these are what we call civilized nations. They would not go to communism, because communism is a religion. Socialism can work with a democracy. Communism cannot. Communism is a religion. When communism took over Russia, they banned all of religious activities. They still had the churches there, but you could not teach whatever. Russia had one of the oldest copies of the Bible in history, and they sold that copy to England. We have the Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, and Codex Alexandrius, which they had. Those are three sister manuscripts that were made in the 300s by Constantine, complete Bible. Well, they sold it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They wanted money. Money, 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 so they could build their empire. Now, when Israel was started, it was started on a communist ideal. In the late 1700s, early 1800s, we have these people that have this socialist idea, these communist idea, and they began what they call Zionism. And all the Jews and all the nations would give money, and they were going back into the land of Israel and buying pieces and blocks of property. By the early 1800s and late 1800s, they were going in and buying up all the land they could, and then Zionism started going really great about World War I in the early 1900s, and it got all the way back and got in here. Now, then we have Russia. We have Russia becoming powerful as a communist society, and the Jews had no problem with communism. But they have a religion, and communism is what? Is a religion. So the Russian society and Jewish society, even though they believed in the same economy, could not get along because one of them was a religion and the other one had a religion. And so what we have in the nation of Israel now was built by a communist society. People went in these kibbutz over there, and for lifetimes they gave all they had and had nothing except maybe a musical instrument, a writing pen, small menial little things that they own, but they worked, they built that nation. They died, they lived for that nation. And that's how the nation of Israel started today. And is now today, it's not as much communistic as it is a socialist democracy. And in the land of Palestine. Do you see how these societies don't work? God allowed Russia to come. God allowed Germany to come up. God allowed Israel to rise again. What caused Israel to rise again? Communism, for one thing. When they were ran out of Russia, when they were run out of Russia, and they couldn't get along in Germany, the Germans started killing because these guys are communist socialist, and Germany is capitalistic. And so America and Germany were lined up, and they lined up until old Bulldog Churchill came over here so many times, meeting with Franklin Roosevelt on the sly, that they finally, they knew that, and Churchill tried to make Roosevelt leave Japan alone. But they had these embargoes against Japan. Finally, Japan attacked us. But when Japan attacked us, that was a declaration of war. And so Roosevelt allowed Japan to declare the war. He did not. America did not want to go to war. After World War I, the Great War, they didn't want to know no more wars, they said. No more wars. They couldn't get the people to volunteer. Nobody wanted to go to war. And they were isolationists here. Teddy Roosevelt was the first non-isolationist. And then the next one was Franklin Roosevelt, two relatives. So Franklin Roosevelt made Japan declare war on him. Now, he was building war machines, the factories in America, all the car factories, all the manufacturing were building airplanes and tanks and jeeps and guns already.
So they're buying time.
Yeah, they were buying time. He was supporting the Allies. And then after Japan declared war on us, or we declared war on Japan, Hitler declared war on America. And that was exactly what Roosevelt wanted. Now he could change sides. Now he could go in and whoop that big war machine, Germany, the Third Reich, and get rid of that mental economy. Even though it was capitalistic, it was a machine of religion. That was a religion also.
Oh, idolatry, I mean the way they...
Yes, well, the way they worshipped Hitler.
Yeah, that was just some idolatry.
This is emperor worship.
Yeah.
Like Japan was emperor worship. So you see how nations have personalities, and God allows all these things. Now, we brought that into modern times where we can look at it and say, hey, yeah, this is what happened in our time. This is something we can understand today. If it wasn't for Hitler, we would be speaking Russian. He fought that great bear down and subdued her to a certain extent. But even with greatly diminished forces, Russia struck at Europe with its vengeance with communism. Israel wanted to have a nation, a national. They wanted to have a place in the world. They were all over. They were dispersed people. They were a nation basically without a land. So they went in, and all this time they're buying up the land of Israel. So after that time, they really started buying up. And all the displaced persons in Europe were on these displaced person boats out in the Mediterranean Sea, and they were in a lot of them toward the land of Palestine, and many of these Jews began to jump overboard and swim to shore. And the Jews that were already there took care of them. And this is where we have the kibbutz societies, these communist societies. Now we have communism in Russia, which is a religion which cannot stand a religion. Now we have the nation of Israel that is a communist society, except they have God. They believe that. God is their national asset. And that's how they've come down to here. Nations have personalities. Now these things may be really hard for people to understand, but nations have personalities, and God allows nations to do whatever. You read the book of Daniel, you read the book of Ezekiel, you read the book of Revelation, and you can tell what nations are going to rise in the last days, and guess what? That's the nations that we're having trouble with today in the world. They're all ganging up in the Middle East. Now, how could they do this unless Israel became a nation? Because God allowed Hitler to do what he did. God allowed Russia to do what they did. And God has allowed America to do what they did. But God only has one nation, and that nation is Israel. That's it. And all history revolves around the nation of Israel, because those are the Shemites. Even though from the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis that we saw a few weeks ago, that the Japhethites will take and run with the religion of the Jews and perfect it better than the Jews ever did, and this is what we call Christianity. Some of the greatest writings ever been produced, Eric Sauer and the German writers, these evangelicals, these Baptists, these people that have Baptist traits, these Wiedertaufers, as they speak in their own language, these rebaptizers. All of these people, these Mennonites, these are the Baptists of old. They really had some of the greatest theologians. Some of the books that we're studying today are from these people. Some of the greatest theologians are from that era. Yes, Japheth would take the word of God. They would dwell in the tents of Shem, because Shem had abandoned her king. When her king came to Shem turned her back on Jesus. That's where we'll go tonight, right there. We went from 10:1 to 10:8, and we studied a little about nations have personalities. Do you have any questions?
What's America's personality?
Pride, is it not? Pride, much pride. God has used America to back Israel. God used America to break Hitler's back, to break Japan, because these are religious societies. These are religions. If their back was not broke, Richard Nixon went in and lined up with China so he could break the balance of power with communism, because there was more communists than there were capitalists, more democracies. And when China lined up with America, then the balance of power, he knew what he was doing. He was a very brilliant man. But you look back and you see all these things. When you're studying economics, you can't study Western civilization without studying economics, and you can't study Western civilization without studying political science. All of this is absolutely necessary, and it's all Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
But America isn't any one of them. They're all of them.
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying, because America, just by our nature, we are...
In the last days.
Everybody.
In the last days. The Bible says that God is going to start dealing with Israel again. We know that happened in 1948. That's when Israel became a nation. I am a dispensationalist. I am not a hyper-dispensationalist. But God has dealt with man in different times and different ways to bring about an eternal purpose. And he's planned what we call an unpreventable purpose and God's eternal purpose. God only saved people one way. There's only been one way of salvation. But God has revealed himself in the garden, in innocence, and under conscience after the fall, the flood, the judgment. We have a human government established. We have the division of the earth. We have the dividing of the continents. We have the promise with Abraham. Abraham is called out a line of Shem. And he is promised a Messiah. He's promised that his children will dwell in the land of Canaan, which was a cursed people back in the book of Genesis earlier. From the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, we see that coming. This was planned by God before. And he allowed all these people to go and come, didn't he? All these personalities of the nation. What kind of a personality did the Canaanites have? Except for a few. They were all pagans, idolaters, and
the physical pleasure.
Physical pleasures. Yeah. Yes. That's what they were.
So Sodom and Gomorrah, those were Canaanites.
Sodom and Gomorrah, yes. Sodom and Gomorrah, all of that. That was horrible people, which God has shown that this is what God's judgment is on these people. Defiled themselves with the extremities. You know, what we just read with Arthur Cousins. When you go to an extreme, physical pleasure only. Nothing intellectual, only to how to get that pleasure. And when it comes easy, it goes easy. When your power comes easy, it goes easy. Look at the movie stars. Look what messed up lives they have. Because all of a sudden, they become powerful and rich and famous. And it went to their heads. And it goes all to, it's physical, isn't it? It's all physical. So it goes all physical pleasure. Very few movie stars had moral lives. Very few movie stars had moral lives. America has old money and new money, is what they say. The old societies that carried money to this country, and they were the rulers. America today is ruled by big business and corporations. That is a fact. That's not a maybe. That's a fact. The big schools, the high intellectual schools, they will send their children to those schools. This is not debatable. This is fact. We had a revolution from 1900 to about 1950 that brought on the American dream. It faded tremendously. It was in the hands of big business in 1900. Teddy Roosevelt started. Franklin Roosevelt finished that job that he started and put a nation back in the hands of the people. And then those corporations took it brutally back. There we have evolutions of nations, and nations have personalities. And anything but capitalism in America is a bad word. Socialism is a no-no because it's so hyper-capitalistic. But what happens to these hyper-capitalistic nations in the past?
Well, the greed.
The greed destroys. Yeah. Destroys people and people's lives. We have seen this. It happened in America early, and then American people took it back. And it's wrestled back and forth. America is not God's nation, but America has been used by God. And it has supported God's nation, which is Israel. Many of these covenant theologians, what we call hyper-Calvinists, do not believe that the church and Israel, they believe they're one. Israel is Israel, though, and the church is a church. All the promises to Israel are still valid to Israel. They nullified that and put it all into church. I believe that the church is going to be raptured and all is saved in the beginning before the tribulation period. Some people believe it's in the middle of the tribulation period. Some people believe it's at the end of the tribulation period. But regardless of all those things, the tribulation period comes upon the earth for one reason, to bring Israel back to God. Now, you can deny all that. You can deny the tribulation period. You can even deny the church age, and many people believe, many evangelicals believe, that the church is going to bring in the kingdom, that they're going to convert the whole world. But that's contrary to what Ezekiel and Daniel and the book of Revelation and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Peter and Jude and all these other writers say. The tribulation period will bring in the millennium. 5 out of 6 people in the world, in the entire world, is going to be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed. And the Jews are going to cry out for the protection of God, and Jesus is going to protect them. We look at the Islamic society. It's the total opposite of what the Bible is. What the Bible says is good, Islam says is bad. What the Bible says is bad, Islam says is good. The four wives.
All in black garb, yeah, doing their grocery shopping when I was there doing my grocery shopping. And I go like,
America is... Boo-boo-boo,
each a little younger than the other, you know.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it was like...
You see this. Now, we can deny this. We can deny this. You talk about these converted Islamic people, they'll say America is in stage 3 of Islamic takeover of 5 points. Page 3 of 5. The Bible says the beast is going to rise, the false prophet is going to rise, and that the Antichrist is going to rise. The Quran says, and the Hadith and the Sunnah says, that the Mahdi is going to come back. The Mahdi is going to come back. He is going to have rule for 7 years. The beast is going to come. He's going to mark all of those that are true Islam, and that then Jesus is going to come back and kill all the Jews and kill all the Christians and going to reign with the beast. We see all these things. We see all these counter religions. Only one can be right. All these diverse religious things cannot be right. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Forgive us where we fail you. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Help this to go out and touch people's heart and tickle their intellects and make them open their eyes to things that they've never seen before. With nations have personalities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.